It's the last hurrah for our election generals, Lord Peter Hennessy, also unelected, and John Sargent, commoner. While the other programmes spent 6 weeks wildly speculating about the future, they spent 6 weeks wildly wallowing in the past, didn't you, John?
We did, and we didn't forecast the result. We were seriously misled by the opinion polls. All I will say in our defence is, when I left the studio last week, I said to Peter, it's going to be easier to explain a Tory victory than a Labour victory. And Peter, quick as a flash, said, you mean the economy and Scotland? And I said, yes.
And before you continue, we're here with Lord Adonis, who's not left the studio. This is a man who looks, doesn't he, very sad this morning. There's a human cost for the losers, Peter Hennessy.
Yes, it's very poignant. And wherever you stand in your one's own political views, figures who lose with dignity, like Ed Balls, for example. We talked about that last week. We talked about the importance of dignified exits. And Nick Clegg's exit and Ed Miliband's, in their different ways, were very, very dignified and very well done. And I think it's a matter of paying tribute, actually, to the way the defeated have behaved.
It is a very cruel night and horrible to see people whose careers, lives, everything on this result. Okay, now look, it's time, I think, as generals, I think you'd agree, Peter, to give some campaign medals.
Absolutely.
Now, we're only going to give one, and it's going to be to you, Paddy. Right? Now, this is because this is what you said at the end of our conversation just a week ago.
One final thought, which you can't discuss, because right at the end, never rule out the prospect of a surprise win. We mustn't be the people who rule that out, must we?
Well done, Paddy.
The award for smuggery. And the right and the Conservatives are gleeful. They're gleeful at this, and that's the other thing, the trend that we must report on this morning.
Yes, they're gleeful, and they, of course, feel this is going to give them a tremendous position to fight all the difficulties they've got to fight. But if you look at the agenda that they're facing, yes, it is formidable.
The difficulties are extraordinary. As the smoke cleared from the electoral battlefield, it revealed two first-order questions, I think, which are interlinked. One is the question of the union itself, the kingdom to come, and the other is Europe, the referendum, and our place in the world. And why are they linked? Because I think if we squeak out of Europe by the end of 2017, it will trigger another Scottish referendum and Scotland will separate. So by the time, in two elections' time, if we're still doing these programmes together, as I hope we are, as very ancient generals by then, we could be in a United Kingdom that's entirely different, shorn of Scotland and out of Europe. And these are two enormous first-order questions. And I think there is a link with VE Day, because I think there's more uncertainty over our dear islands now because of those two factors than there has been since VE Day.
But it starts off, if you imagine this as some terrible race ahead, particularly for David Cameron as the Prime Minister, what does it feel like that the sort of for him now? Well, we can go back to two surprise victors we're going to hear now, and one of them is Ted Heath in 1970, and the other one is David Cameron just a few days ago. So here we are, both of them, looking as if they're just walking on air.
This government will be at the service of all the people, the whole nation. Our purpose is not to divide, but to unite, and where there are differences, to bring reconciliation, to create one nation.
We will govern as a party of one nation, one United Kingdom. That means ensuring this recovery reaches all parts of our country, from north to south, from east to west.
One nation is code word from Disraeli for Conservatives who want to reach out to the centre ground. Ted was talking about a divided nation with raw industrial relations, and indeed it was trade union power that brought about his demise in 1974. David Cameron's talking about a very different kind of one nation, holding the nation together. And the tone and pitch of his remarks outside Downing Street were very different from the tone and pitch of his remarks on the morning after the referendum, where he sought, I regretted to say, to take a partisan view. And the English question, of course, is roaring away. But he did it far better on Friday morning than he did on the Friday morning after the referendum, to his great credit, I thought.
Then the comparison, which is so interesting, isn't it, in Ted Heath's great achievement was getting Britain into the common market. And Wilson then had to pick up the pieces because his party, not the Conservative Party, the Labour Party, was split down the middle on Europe. Now, if that seems like an echo of what's happening now with the Conservatives, let's just follow this through. What did Wilson do? He went to renegotiate with the other leaders of the other countries in Europe. He then came back and put that renegotiated position, first of all, to his cabinet, with only a majority of the cabinet agreeing, then to his own MPs, and they split 50-50. So they had to now go into a referendum campaign with Labour split and the Tories in agreement. They were behind the Europe.
That's the problem with the European question for the Brits. It's not a left-right question. It splits parties within. And the two major parties take it in turns to have a minor nervous breakdown in Europe. It's this kind of terrible recitative to British politics.
And I remember that referendum campaign because I was an ordinary BBC reporter.
You never were an ordinary reporter.
So the political correspondents weren't bothering too much with this because it was outside Parliament. And would you believe it, the Prime Minister Harold Wilson and the Leader of the Opposition, one Margaret Thatcher, pretty well stayed out of the campaign, and it involved instead Roy Jenkins, Peter Shaw, Barbara Castle, Tony Benn. They were all fighting and disagreeing with each other. Ted Heath was involved. You then had the referendum result, which was a resounding vote to stay in the common market. And this we now hear Wilson at the end of the campaign saying how marvellous it all was.
It means that 14 years of national argument are over. It means that all those who have had reservations about Britain's commitment should now join wholeheartedly, without stint, in the task of overcoming the economic problems that assail us.
14 years of national argument over in 1975.
Au contraire. It'll never be over. It's one of the perpetuals. Whether we stay in, even if we come out, there'll be an argument forever about whether we should have done it or whether we should go back. There'll be some remorse. And if we stay in, the question will not be dead.
The political,
it will haunt us forever.
The political class, who I read in the papers, seem to agree, do they not, that David Cameron wants to stay in. He wants to get some kind of deal to put to the people, and he wants to stay in. I don't know if that's true, but do we know if the cabinet this time will be allowed to take its own positions? Could we have the position where the foreign secretary says one thing and the home secretary says the other thing about the future in the EU? Could we have that?
They certainly don't want to. They think, oh, well, it'll all be wonderful, they'll agree. But Harold Wilson found it was impossible to agree. I must say, I think they'll have to have the same idea.
Agreement to differ.
If you agree to differ, yeah, and you go into the referendum campaign. And what is curious about this is that when you look back on this argument about Europe, there are moments when people are very optimistic. Oh, it's all going to be all right. It's all going to be fine. John Major negotiated the Maastricht Treaty before winning the election of 1992, and he thought, well, this is going to be OK.
Let's have a listen to that. It's the other link between past and present. It's a surprise Tory win. It's 1992, and let's listen to a few seconds of John Major on that night.
We won tonight a magnificent victory. A victory that many people thought was beyond our grasp, but one which the Conservative Party always believed was there for the taking.
OK, so we've got a similar small majority of one party, the Conservative Party. Are there any links as we leave you?
Yes, there are, because managing a majority of 12 is going to be even harder in some ways, probably, than John Major had a majority of 21. And the Great Reaper takes his toll. And also the bumping and grinding of governing takes its toll. And nobody will begrudge David Cameron his weekend of pleasure, but the clock is ticking. It always ticks for a Prime Minister in an adverse way from almost the very moment of victory.
There are quite a few differences, the main one being that when John Major had all that terrible problems he had in his own backbenches, he had one particular problem, which was Margaret Thatcher. So the Tories effectively had two leaders taking totally different views on Europe and on each other. The other factor here is, of course, Scotland. The SNP are pro-Europe. They're going to argue as soon as they can, okay, if there's going to be, if Britain is going to leave, what about their position in Europe? So it is different, but it's curiously similar and very difficult.
And now, I think the next election is the 7th of May 2020, is that right? Do you know?
I think so. It won't be the 7th of May, it'll be 8th of May, will it be?
Something like that.
It'll be a Thursday.
See you then.
We're all agreed. See you then. Thank you very much indeed.